Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
All right, let's sing on the first.
Love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory on the second. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when trying days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we Jesus, we'll sing and shout, sing the chorus. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout, and sing it again. Yes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. One more time, sing it. Yes, when we all
get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing. Oh, yes, when we all see Jesus, we'll
remain standing. Let's sing this song, What a Day That'll Be. Sing it out now.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day.
Sing the chorus again, sing it out. Yes,
what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Sing the first now. There is coming.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will.
Now listen to the second verse. Listen to it now.
Oh, there'll be no sorrows there. There's no more burdens to bear.
sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, yes, the glorious day. That how many's looking for that day today? Yes, sing it out now. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Amen. We finally get to see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen.
Story is true. John was able to see its shining perfection in every direction. Down some golden street, there's a place just for me. Sights I will see there, the saints of all ages, they will kneel at his feet, around the throne, but in my new home, when I look out the window, I'll see the face of my. For my sin.
After that first song, I almost took off preaching then. Maybe I should have. I don't know. I know that what we're doing over the last week and over the next couple weeks on Sunday morning is important. And I definitely don't want to minimize that. So sometimes you have to take a deep breath and in order to further God's program, you have to take a deep breath and not always go with what you want to do and go with what you know you need to do. And so that's what I'm going to try to do this morning. But I was thinking, no, I wasn't thinking. Somebody said that Tracy put on Facebook something about a donut. Does this donut make me look fat? Was that you? It wasn't you? Okay, if it was somebody else. I was eating a donut and said, does this donut make me look fat? I thought that was so funny. And I don't think Facebook is evil within itself. What we do with it sometimes is not so good. But if you had it, that was cute. That was funny if you had done that. Huh? I can't remember. No, I can't remember. I can't remember, but I thought, man, that is funny. That is funny. I was thinking it wasn't that one donut that makes us look fat. It's the 3,000 before that puts it on us, doesn't it? But if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as you know, we're in the process of, I'm tangled up in myself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as you know, we're wanting to put together a team program for the church, for you that are volunteering and working, trying to do something for the Lord. We want to set up a program that will be beneficial to those that we're ministering to, but also beneficial to those that are ministering. So many times, we do so much for so long, we get tired, we get burned out, and I want to say that it's okay. It's okay every time, every once in a while, you have to take a deep breath, revamp some things, because it does take work to do things for the Lord. So that's why we're developing this VIP program. We're not the only church in the world that's developing it. There's three other churches that I know of that are using this program with success. And whenever you can find something that is helping others, you hope it will help your church as well. So that's where we are. Now, not today, but let me back up. As you walked into the foyer, you saw things were a little different this morning, did you not? Amen. Now, I appreciate Brother Williams' effort and work into that. He's got it looking good in there. The reason that is there is a VIP table or the connection table where we can connect with the ministries of the church. Now, we have some brochures. They're not out there as of yet because it's not time for them to be displayed. But this is just a proof of, say, this is a 4x9, and it's a brochure for the media team. And if you're interested in helping the media team, you'll have a chance to fill out your name and so forth and say, hey, I'm interested in camera or working with the screens or still shots or special occasions. You'll have an opportunity to serve there. And then, of course, there's with the VIP nursery team, and this will ask your name and say, hey, you want help in Sunday school or Sunday nights or Sunday mornings and other questions as well, and you'll be able to turn that in. And then, of course, the music team and the choir, everyone is welcome, soloist, musician, and so forth. And there's others as well, but those are just three examples that I want to share with you, and that is to help the church move forward. We want as many people to be involved as possible, because when you have a few pulling the entire load, it is tiresome. And yes, you get tired, you get worn out. And yes, I hate the word, but even burnout. So we don't want that. God doesn't want that. And so if you would, once we get these brochures out there over the next week, you can get involved in a ministry here at Westside Baptist Church. Not only will you be ministering to those that you're ministering to, but you'll be ministering to each other in that you'll be lifting the load off one another. Y'all with me? Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul is speaking here. He uses in verse 7 a term. He says, but we, I believe he's talking about himself, Silvanus, and Timothy. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now, let me go on to read this, and I'm going to back up. I want to start with verse 8 rather than verse 7, and we'll go back to verse 7 in a few moments. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he says this. So, well, the reason I want to go ahead and read verse 7 is because it mentioned we. Now, what we see here with Paul, he says we. In other words, there's a team of men that he's speaking of. That's why we want to build teams. We, rather than me or my. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. Now, we will look into this verse in just a few moments. But I want to mention this here. I want to mention a paragraph I read by a man, and his name is Stephen Benefield. He wrote this paragraph in reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And I want to share this with you this morning. It is possible to win people to Christ without really investing much into them. I know because I have done it. God has convicted me at times that although I was succeeding in imparting the gospel of God, I was failing to impart my own soul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, God gives us a pattern for investing in the lives of other people. This verse Paul has written, he's telling us that we need to invest ourselves into others through empathy. Now, I'll say this. I see businesses all the time. They'll say, we need capital to invest into our businesses. And they're right. I hear preachers many times, and I'm one of them, that preach about the need to invest in our own church financially. And I believe that. There's things that we need to do, constantly change, update. Man, and it is an investment right now. The Board of Trustees have looked, and they've looked at our buses, and they've said, man, our buses are deteriorating, and we need a way to protect them. And so they said, we need to put a bus shed up so we can protect our investments. What does it mean? It means we have to invest. Am I right? Bus bars don't grow on trees, folks. You say, you know what? That sign out front needs to be updated. Yes, it does. What does it take? Investment. I'm not against investment. I'm all for investment. And we preach because we're for investment. What do we preachers do? I'm rubbing on something, and I don't know what it is. I'll let you know if I figure it out. Maybe, did it stop? Okay, let's see. I think we're okay. I'm not against it. And so what do we do? What do we do, Christians? We preachers get up and say, you need a tithe. I'm not against tithing. That is a way of investing into God's work. Brother Dave said, it's my batteries. So let's put up with it if you don't mind. Batteries are new, though, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily. So investment in the building and on the campus and all for our buses, and all that's important. But we need to realize that investing in the people is more important than anything that we can do in the ministry. We need to invest through empathy, through caring. What does 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7 says? But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Man, that's bothering me. If you want to, and I just have a mic, I'd appreciate it. That's bothering me. I hope that's better. Is that better? Amen. Now I can think about what I'm preaching. I'm up here. I am ADD. And man, I'll tell you, he said, turn me up, please. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Dave. Man. And so I couldn't think to preach because I kept hearing that noise. So maybe we can get on with the sermon now. We need to invest through empathy. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Now remember, at the time this was written, it was pretty normal to have what you might call today a wet nurse. And that nurse would stay through the first 2 years of that child's life. And many times, the family would have that nurse stay on forever. She became a part of the family, so to speak. So this, Paul is saying, we were like the wet nurse that was caring for your children. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being, he didn't say so be, he said, so we've been affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. First and foremost, if we want to invest in people, we must learn to empathize. And it must not be a fake empathy, but it has got to be genuine. There are four special words that Paul used that I just read to you that I want to share with you for a few moments. First and foremost, Paul said that we were gentle among you. We were gentle. We were mild among you. We were meek among you. We were soft among you. We were not abrasive. We were not obnoxious. We were not combative. But we were gentle as we ministered towards you. Then he says this, but we cherished you. And this word just means to treat with tenderness and affection. It means to give warmth. It means to ease or to comfort. He's saying, ladies and gentlemen, we loved you enough to show you gentleness,
but we cherished you. We cherished you like a nurse cherishes her children. We cherished you. Then the next terminology he used to describe the investment that we should have is affectionate. He's saying we had great love or affection for you. How many times have I preached on the necessity of love in the life of a Christian? And that is the root. That is the root of even the foundation which we build our service upon. This love that we're to have. And then he uses the next word. He says, we were gentle. We cherished. We were affectionate because ye were dear unto us. You know what that word dear means? Of a high value and estimation. Now, let me say this. When you see someone and you love them and you find them dear, remember the definition, high value in estimation? That means also that you may see someone and consider them dear because their value is more than they are exhibiting at that time. You estimate that there is great potential with that person, and you find them dear to your heart. And it causes us to want to minister or invest into that person. Too many times we're looking as persons, as people. Y'all with me? We're saying, well, this group of people, or that group of children, or this group of teenagers, or this group of middle-aged adults, or this group of older or younger, and we have this group, but we need to realize that for us to count them dear, they must be individuals in our hearts. In other words, we need to fall in love with the individuals in order to feel good about our investment in them. Dear of a high value and estimation, or greatly valued, beloved, or precious. This is important if we are going to invest our time in the people. If we don't count them as greatly valued, if we don't see them as an individual that can reach new heights in their spiritual walk, in their personal walk, we need to understand that this is what we need to look at. This causes us or motivates us to invest in individuals. We need to invest through empathy. I'm afraid that maybe we invest because we're supposed to, or we invest because the preacher gets up and rants and raves and says we need help here, we need help there. Well, I want to tell you, if you're doing that because the preacher says it needs to be done and not because the Holy Spirit has whispered to you, let me tell you exactly what's going to happen. You'll jump on the bandwagon, and in 3 months you'll be going, I'm burned out. I can't do it anymore. And now let me remember, I prefaced this earlier. I said it is a legitimate issue. People do get tired. And it is a legitimate issue that people can get burned out. But I want to tell you, God has made a way around that. See, Paul said, we were gentle. We cherished you. We were affectionate. We found you dear. Paul had a VIP team. It was him and Silvanus and Timothy. And we at Westside Baptist Church need the VIP team. Last week, we started with the V of volunteering, and we preached a message based on what God expects of his volunteers. And here we're seeing what the volunteers need to be exhibiting in order to be successful in our ministries. Invest through empathy. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we need to make investment through evangelism. Sadly, there are Christians who emphasize with people and truly, by the way, truly desire to help them, but never tell them about the Lord. There are missionaries today from different organizations, and they're going into Africa and these different third world countries, and they're digging wells, and praise God, I'm not against wells. And they're going in and they're giving them medical treatment. Praise God, I'm not against giving people medical treatment. And they're out there, they're teaching them how to grow food. Thank God they're teaching them how to grow food. They're teaching them how to wear clothes. Thank God they're teaching them. Hey, wonderful. But we need not forget that we need to invest through evangelism. 1 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring day and night." Hello. "Day and night, because we would not be chargeable unto you, unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." So yes, we need to invest through empathy. We need to be gentle. We need to cherish. We need to be affectionate. We need to try to meet the needs of the individual. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to invest through evangelism. He says this, "We preached unto you the gospel of God." But I like what he said before that. Go back to the top of that verse with me. "For ye remember," remember, he says, "remember, brethren, our labor and travail." He said, remember bodily, remember our bodily or intellectual exertion, which occasions weariness. That's what he's saying. Remember we labored. Remember we also got tired like the rest of you. Remember, he's saying. Then he says, "and travail." Travail means labor with pain, severe toil. Ladies and gentlemen, I've already prefaced. I've said, yes, there's times we get tired. Yes, there's times we find ourselves burned out. Yes, there's times where we need to stop and take a small break. It was about 6 weeks ago, I believe, brother. I was talking to Brother William earlier, and I'm telling you, about 6 weeks ago, the details don't matter, but man, I'd gotten to the end of my rope. I'm telling you, I was tired and, yes, burned out. Say, what did you do? I didn't quit. You know what I did? I turned my phone off. Not literally. I let everything go to voicemail. And if it wasn't an absolute emergency, I didn't deal with it. So, yeah, sometimes you have to take a couple days and revamp and reboot. But, ladies and gentlemen, he's telling us here, he's saying we labored, we travailed, we labored with pain. And it didn't stop there. He didn't say we labored Sunday morning for 2 whole hours. And, oh, my goodness, Wednesday night came and, oh, we labored for an hour. Oh, my goodness. And, oh, you know what he said? He said, we labored and travailed. We worked in pain day and night. Folks, this should be making an impact on we Christians. We gave you last week what God expects from our volunteers. We're giving you this week how He wants us to invest and how. He wants to invest us to invest into individuals through empathy. He wants us to invest into individuals, yes, through evangelism. But also He wants us to invest through example. Say, well, preacher, you mentioned that last week. I know, but isn't it something that last week our text was taken out of 1 Corinthians and today is taken out of 1 Thessalonians and somehow God's word does this? I don't plan this stuff. It's all God's word. So that preacher's too repetitious. Deal with God. It's not Alton Midget, I promise you that. I had somebody come in my office last week and said, I've never seen God work in services consistently like He works here at Westside Baptist Church. And my response was, I promise you, it is not me. And I want to promise you this, when I preach God's word, it is not me. Last week, I hurt some feelings. I made some people mad. I promise you, it was not me. I promise you it was the Holy Spirit. I told the church Wednesday night, I said I used a bad word Sunday morning. I said I used the word stupid. I said I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to say silly from now on. So when I say silly, you know what I mean. Amen. So we need to invest, yes, through evangelism. We need to invest through example. 1 Thessalonians 2:10 says, ye are witnesses. Hey, He didn't say you're good witnesses or you're bad witnesses. He said, you're witnesses. Whether you like it or not, you're witnesses. And God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Notice again a few words associated with being a good example. Holily. He said, man, you're witnesses. And I'll tell you, but this is how we behaved among you. We behave holily, so you are to behave holily. That means piously. It means with sanctity. It means or with proof of our sanctification. I'm telling you, church, the way we act and what we do, I believe, is the proof or the disqualifying proof of our sanctification. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if we can enjoy sin, if we can watch the garbage that comes across the TV set and not grab the remote and change it, and we can sit there and listen to a bunch of clowns use our God's name in vain and it not bother us, we are not living a sanctified life. And if it doesn't bother us, I believe we're not even saved. I heard a man say something. Y'all don't mind if I preach this morning. Listen, a man, he had been out in, and I can't remember his name right now, but I'll give it to you. And he had come off the mission field. And where he ministers, the Muslims are thick. And one of the men, young boys that he had seen saved in his ministry, 5 years old, the Muslims walked up to him and demanded that he deny Christ. The young boy begged them for his life. He said, I don't want to die, but I cannot deny my Jesus. 5 years old. 5 years old. They shot that little boy 5 times in the gut and killed him right there. That 5-year-old Christian's body laying in his own blood while he was celebrating in heaven. That's right. Ugly scene. He walked in an arena with 5,000 teenagers, this missionary did. And behind them, they had the black screens and the fog machines and the guitars. And the, I mean, they had everything that they have for their rock concert. He said, "You think you're radical. You think you're a radical Christian because you wear a T-shirt that says Jesus on it. He said, you think you're radical because you've perverted God's music into headbanging music." Now, this is a man that was a part of the contemporary movement, went and saw what true Christianity is, came back and said to American Christians, he said this. He said, "I don't believe there's but 5% of you that's even saved." He said, "It's easy to get up here and raise your hands and praise Jesus." He said, "When you got the music flowing and emotions going," he said, "but most of you this weekend that are up here praising Jesus, last weekend were in the back seat of an automobile fornicating." He said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "I don't believe that 5% of you are even saved." It got quiet in there, kind of like it is in here. I'm going to tell you something. When that young preacher, he was a young preacher. And when he was done, about an hour later, I started searching myself. If we can live in sin and it not bother us, something's wrong. Tell you what, he said something, and I wish I had gotten a hold of this years ago. Because I'll be honest with you, moms, dads, it's hard to know exactly where to draw the line when it comes to dress. But this guy put it in such a simple way. He said this. He said, "Your dress should frame your face if you want to please God." He said, "But if your dress frames your body, you are not pleasing God." I wish I'd heard that 30 years ago. I believe it would have changed my view on some things, even as I raised my own children. I wish I'd have heard that 30 years ago. My point being is that we are the example. And by the way, if this is not in our heart, that maybe we're not even saved. If we're enjoying this world and we can sup off the things of this world and it not bother us, I'm really thinking that we've got issues. Maybe the reason we don't want to volunteer, and I'm not suggesting if you don't do something for the Lord and that, you know, you're not saved. Please don't think that's not what I'm saying. But one of the reasons maybe why we're not doing what God wants us to do is because we're so busy eating off the devil's plate. Last week I said something of the effect, it's not always that you have too much on your plate. Sometimes it is what is on your plate that is the issue, and I think that goes here. Y'all with me? Now listen, we've got to invest by example wholly, justly. You know what justly means? Honestly, fairly, with integrity. Has there ever been a time in my life I've acted in a way that did not show much integrity? Yes, absolutely. What did you do? 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Are you saying, preacher, if a Christian ever backslid, he or she was never saved to begin with? No, that's why God gave us 1 John. But I am saying this, if you can continually suck on the things of this world and the Holy Spirit and whispering to you, you need to look up, you need to do some research. if we can lay out a church and go out here and suck off the things of this world and not feel bad about it, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Hey, Christians, what kind of example are we being? You know what? I am not against Facebook. I'm not. When I do research, and what happens is you end up over here and over there and over here. And somehow I ended up watching a short video of Larry Brown. He's riding down the road. Somebody's driving for him, and he was on the way to a meeting. And he said, "Thank God for Facebook and the good book." What he's saying is you can lose Facebook the right way. I believe that. Too many times we're bad at a bad example, though. We get on Facebook, we put some stuff out there that is just horribly bad. Terribly bad. Folks, I'm going to preach this morning. Time done. Doggone it. Can you say that from the pulpit? Doggone it. Too late now. It's time that we stop and listen to the Holy Spirit of God and stop worrying about whether or not we make it up here to Golden's by 12:05. I'm just ready to move on. What do you mean? I'm not talking about leaving. I'm saying I'm ready to move on. Word. Yes, I'd love to go to heaven, but I believe that Westside Baptist Church has too much potential to stay where we are at this moment. If we're not moving forward, we're going to stagnate. And once you stop moving, then you start sliding backwards. I had somebody say something or something of the fact, well, we just need to step back for a little bit. Now, they haven't been to church in 7 or 8 weeks, and they're like, we need to step back. There's another word for that. It's called backsliding. Amen, preacher. I may not have anyone here tonight. I don't care. I'm having a good time. Justly, honestly, fairly, with integrity. Then it says unblameably. In such a manner as to incur no blame. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. We need to learn to deny the flesh. Our influence on people will increase, ladies and gentlemen, as we invest in them through example. If I tell you not to smoke cigarettes, and then you see me smoking cigarettes, nothing that I said about cigarettes matters. Am I right, Pastor? If you see me out here smoking reefer, or weed, and I tell you it is sin, and you do it, and you use me as an excuse, you're going to say that he's a hypocrite. That's right. You know, I'm convinced, Pastor, that God has put everything on this planet for a reason, including what we call pot. Friend of mine who has a son who suffers from horrible, horrible, debilitating seizures. They use that product. They took out the product that makes you high, and they use that pill, and now his son does not have seizures anymore. Isn't that something? But God did not put it here to be perverted as it has been perverted. I'm convinced, Pastor, that cigarette tobacco, that kind of tobacco, I'm convinced that there's a healing agent in that, that it does something wonderful. I'm convinced of that. I don't know what it is, but men have perverted it. Well, they light it up and suck on it. I heard a Christian say one time, he said, who was the first guy that ever did that? Who is the first guy that looked at that tobacco leaf and said, I'm going to light it on fire and suck on it? Who was the first idiot that, I'm telling you, oh, did I say idiot? I'm sorry. Silly person. Silly man that ever did that. I'm telling you, we'll make a greater impact on people if we will live by example. Then lastly, aren't you glad? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to invest through encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says this, as ye know, and listen to what he says, how we, Paul said, me and my team, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his child. If you're a father, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You sit that young boy down, you sit that young lady down, and when you tell them, don't do this, it will hurt you. Don't do that, it will hurt you. If you go this way, it could destroy you. You are pouring out your heart to that child. And Paul is saying, we have poured out our heart to you. We've exhorted you. We've incited you by our words or advice. We've comforted in order that you will be stronger, to invigorate you, to cheer you up or enliven you. We've charged you. We've given you directions. We've instructed you by the authority of the Holy Ghost. We've instructed you, he's saying. Then we can go all the way back. All the way back. And we can look at what he said in verse 8. The last part of verse 8, he says, but our own souls. You know what he's saying, folks? He's saying we've laid it out. We've held nothing back. We've rolled it out. We've laid it out. We've pounded it out. We've done everything we can do to help you. We've done everything. There's nothing else we could do. Nothing else we can say. It's been done. It's been said. The example has been set. Our souls have been poured into you. Ladies and gentlemen, whole Westside Baptist Church, we should not want to impart the gospel only, although that's the most important thing. But we need to impart, we need to give of our own souls. May God help us to be spirit-filled as the team that Paul put together was spirit-filled. Help us to invest in those. Let us have empathy. Let us have evangelism. Let us be the example. Let us be the one that encourages. Let us invest in these kids that come in here on this bus. Let us invest in each other. Is it important that, would Walmart even have a store if Sam hadn't have invested something? Walmart's got to be a retail phenomenon greater than any I've ever seen or that I've even read about. Somewhere that man invested. And today they're still building stores all over the place. You know, that's called investing. Can you imagine if they could do that with retail stores? What could God do with us if we'll stop and invest in each other? If I can stop sometime during the day and invest in Brother Allen. If I could stop sometime during the day and invest in Mama. Or I could stop sometime during the day and invest in Brother Ricky back there. What if we could invest in each other? This is the second point of a three-part message. Last week, we talked about volunteering and what God expects of his volunteers. This week, we talked about investing in others. Christians, are you willing? Paul said, we didn't just invest, but we did it day and night. They got up in the morning with a heavy head. What do you mean? You ever go half a night with no sleep, then you get up the next morning? How heavy that head is? It's like somebody has Velcroed your head and Velcroed your bed. And you peel it off. You almost hear it go, shh. It's time that we invest in each other. And with the team program that we're trying to put together, if everybody will jump in, we can all pull on the same end of the rope. And we don't have to be burned out. We don't have to be worn out. Although, I must say this, I rather burn out for God than rust out. But we don't have to do either one. I believe that our Christian walk is a run. It's not a sprint. It's not a sprint. But it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. The problem is in the church we have too many people sprinting. And within a short period of time, they are worn slap out. But if everybody will get on board, we can change this sprint to a marathon. Westside Baptist Church, are you willing to invest in people? I ask you, as the musicians come. Pastor, I'm like so many others. I've served and I've done, and I'm so tired. But Pastor, I am willing. I am willing to invest if God would just give me the strength. Pastor, I'm willing to give this VIP program a shot so I can fulfill God's will for my life and invest in those around me. I hate to say this because I almost feel like I pound on it too much, but the fact is there's only one really requirement to make this program move forward and for us to invest in each other. You're not going to like it. Some of you will, some of you won't. Faithfulness. If we're not here, how can we invest into each other? How would you feel, Westside Baptist Church, if you came to church and Brother Weeb and I weren't here, and Brother Dave wasn't here, but then next week we showed up. Then the next week, Brother Weeb and I were here, but Brother Dave wasn't here. And the next week, Dave and William weren't here, but I wasn't here. And then every once in a while, things roll around, and we'd all be here. Man, it all hitting on all eight cylinders, man. Things are good. The leadership's on the platform, man. You getting the picture? We need to invest. And it's just this simple. Here's the invitation. Are you willing to invest? Say, preacher, I'm tired. I'm worn out, but I'm willing to invest. Preacher, I'm not where I need to be, when I should be, always, but I'm willing to stop that, and I'm willing to invest in others. Because, folks, once we get this program started, if you're not faithful, we're not going to come to you and beg you, oh, please be faithful. We're just going to have to remove you from that position and fill it in with somebody that will be faithful. Not trying to be cold, not trying to be ugly, but this is God's business, and it's time that we treat it like God's business. Amen, Pastor? Am I right? When I get Pastor Payne to agree with me, I'm doing something good. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to invest into others, maybe you'll make that commitment this morning. I'm going to ask the piano to play. Ask you to stand. Simple. It's simple. Lord, Pastor Midget is trying his best to create an atmosphere where we can work together and not experience the absolute weariness, the absolute burnout, and I want to participate, and I'm willing to invest in others. If you're willing to do that, the altar's open.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I in His presence daily live. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.